Boy, that's the truth, don't he? Amen. Amen. We're all his favorites. That's right. He has no one favorite. He loves us all. Amen. He proved it. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That word commendeth means he demonstrated, he proved it. Amen. Talk is cheap. So God said, let me prove it to you. Now, not only am I going to tell you I love you, I'm going to show you that I love you. Amen. I appreciate that. Appreciate the good singing tonight. Thank God for prayer time, and appreciate you again being here. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And the Lord has let me preach many sermons from this text over the years. And of course, it's for lack of better words, it's an easy text to preach because it's just straightforward. Paul giving final instructions to Timothy. The Apostle Paul is about to be martyred for the gospel. He is about to have his head taken off for God's glory. And what's amazing to me, he said, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." And he said, "I fought a good fight, and I finished my course, and I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." And that's not my text. But we do see Paul's time had come in verse 6. And you know what? He wasn't mad about it. He wasn't upset about it. What a picture of dying grace that is. Amen. What a picture. You know, I guess, and I'm trying not to run a rabbit, I guess as human beings, we all cling to life. All of us do that. And, you know, as far as dying, I'm not scared to do it. I just hate to leave my family. But yet, I've seen God give grace in those days. Amen. Right. Amen. I've seen God give grace. So Paul's time had come. And then in verse number 7, Paul's task was finished. He said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Verse number 8, Paul's trophy was waiting. I like that. But in verse number 9, look at it with me, please. He made this statement to Timothy, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." Now, this is a urgent request. Wonder why? Because Paul wanted to see him before he went to heaven. He wanted to put eyes on him again before he went to heaven. And so he said, "Do thy diligence without unnecessary delay." He said, don't stop, smell the roses. Don't stop by Burger King. Don't do any of that. He said, "I want you to come." He said, "Come shortly." That means soon. He wants to see him. And he gives him another reason. He said, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Grecians to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia." Then he said in verse 11, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." And he goes on and talks about different things. But I want to stop right here. And I want to preach a thought that I hope God will help me with on simply, how will you be remembered? How will you be remembered? And I hope it'll be a help to us. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We're thankful for Jesus. Thank you for your mercy and your grace and your love. And we pray in Jesus' name, dear God, that you take the message. Use it for your glory. Give us that anointing from the Spirit. Make preaching easy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Again, we see here of Paul. He's at the closing days of his life. And he is giving statements about individual men. And this is how they are remembered to him. This is how he reflects on them. And I want to notice as Paul closes this letter and we look at these men, and we can remember them by what he said. And folks, one day someone's going to remember you for something. Someone's going to remember. And how do you want to be remembered in this life? How do you want people to remember you? A good Christian? A prayer warrior? A soul winner? A giver? In church when the doors is open? An encourager? A strengthener? Amen. How do you want to? You don't want to be remembered as a troublemaker. Amen. You don't want to be remembered as someone that was half-hearted and unfaithful. I don't want to be remembered as someone that sat in a church like they'd lost their best friend. I remember a preacher, and he pastored his first church. And there was an individual there that gave him lots and tons of trouble while he tried. He was young and first pastorate. And he cut him no slack, and he was rough on him. And this young preacher lasted at the church for about 3 years, and he finally resigned. And it's left a lasting effect of remembrance in his heart toward this man. Well, the day came when this man passed away, and he was notified about it. And someone said, "Well, all the trouble he caused you, are you going to the funeral? Are you going to the reception of friends?" He said, "I sure am. I'm going to go by the casket and pinch him, make sure he's gone." I don't want to be remembered like that. Amen. I don't want to be remembered like that. And so I want to get my wrongs right and keep my rights right and be what I ought to be for the glory of God. But I want to notice there are really four individuals that we can remember some things about them. And verse number 7, I actually wrote this one down later, but I want to look at it first of all. We remember the Apostle Paul for his resolve. I know we come into the close of a year, and we shouldn't make resolutions. We ought to resolve some things. There's a difference in resolution and resolving or purposing something. Paul had purposed in his life that by the grace of God, he was going to fight a good fight. He purposed in his heart, resolved in his heart, that he was going to finish his course and keep the faith. If anybody had room to doubt God, it'd probably be him. I mean, folks, beaten, left for dead, stoned in Lystra, shipwreck, all these things that he went through in prison, beaten. Hey, some folks might would say, it ain't worth it. But Paul, he resolved in his heart that I am going to remain no matter how I am punished or no matter how I am chastened or how I am beaten or whatever I go through for the glory of God. He resolved in his heart to remain faithful. Folks, in these days, the charismatics have a lot of people fooled. They feel they say if you're in the will of God, you'll have $1 million. If you're in the will of God, you'll never be sick. If you're in the will of God, you'll never have family problems. You'll never have marital problems. If you're in the will of God, everything sounds good about that, but one thing is simply not true. Everybody born of a woman's few days and full of trouble. This life, folks, honestly, if everything was peachy king all the time, who'd want to go to heaven? That's why we don't see any remorse in Paul's heart when he said, "Hey, the time my departure's at hand, I'm getting out of here." He said, "But while I was here, by the grace of God, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown. If nothing else, praise God, work for the crown." We don't have to work for the Christ. He saved us by grace through faith plus minus nothing else. We ought to work for the crown. My name's in glory. I'm going to heaven when I die. But it's nothing to do with me but what Jesus done for me. But folks, there's a reward to be won. There's a judgment seat of Christ coming. And if anything, we ought to resolve, I'm going to receive a crown, a reward, because I want something to lay back at the Savior's feet one of these days. When we're around the throne of God in Revelation, when they talk about the 420 elders laying their crowns at the Lord's feet, I want to be in that number having a crown. We got to resolve to do that now. There's no crowns earned between here and the clouds. Hello? There's no crowns to be won. Hey, what, how do we pass on? The crowns have to be earned now. Not for salvation, but since we are saved, let's do something right-hearted for God that we may receive a crown. Paul said these athletes, they'll buffet their bodies and they'll do all these things and bring their body under subjection to win a corruptible crown, a ivy wreath that's going to last for about a week, then it's gone. He said, but we do it not to obtain a corruptible crown, but an incorruptible crown. It fadeth not away. Amen. So Paul, he was remembered a man of resolve. No matter what he went through, no matter what he faced, no matter how hard it was, he set his eyes as a flint to the things of God and served the Lord. And you know what? He said, henceforth, there is laid up for me. Paul talked very little about something for him, but he did that day. He said, I got something waiting on me. But he had to resolve it in this life. Folks, we're coming up on 2025. Who would ever thought that? Who would have ever thought that? And folks, again, James said it best. Life is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. Right. I asked Kevin, I said, how old are you today? He said, 28. In my mind, that quick went back and I said, when I was 27, we started this church. And I said, I'm 55. I said, really? I've been pastoring this church over half of my life. You want to add that up? 27, 54, right? Yeah. Count them. So I've been pastoring this church half of my life. Seemed like yesterday. Sometimes it seemed like it had been a million years ago. Most times it seemed like yesterday. And we have to resolve in this life. We have to resolve in this life. We're going to be faithful. Right. Amen. See, faithfulness isn't about feelings. Because I don't feel like being faithful all the time. I don't feel like being an example all the time. But faithfulness isn't about feelings. You imagine as Paul's laying in a dungeon after being beat for the inch of his life, in Acts 16 he felt like singing and praising God, but he was faithful to it. You know what he said? I'm going to be an example. I'm going to be an example of these people. If I moan and groan and complain and bellyache, they're not going to see any difference in me. Right. Oh, but preacher, he was a human being, but God gave him strength and grace to go along with his resolve. And at midnight, him and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. And you know what? God saw their heart. God saw their fervency and their resolve. And God showed up on the scene. Amen. Amen. Can you imagine? I'm not trying to add to the scriptures, but I personally believe more than the Philippian jailer and his family got saved that night. That's my opinion. But we remember Paul for his resolve. Now, look down in verse number 10. There's three individuals, verse 10 and 11, that's mentioned here. How we will remember them. Paul, the main character here. Now he tells Timothy, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. And he said, I'm going to tell you why. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, He said, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for me for the ministry. Now, there's three individuals here. Number one, notice this. One was remembered for his retreat. Folks, one was remembered for his retreat. What do you mean? For how he walked away from Paul, how he walked away from ministry. And the reason he did it, he forsook Paul because he had a love for the world. Get a hold of that. He forsook Paul because he had a love, having loved this present world. He loved this world. You know, Paul doing all that preaching everywhere and he's with him. Paul going to these places in the world, in the middle of all the cesspool of sin, preaching the grace of God, getting born again. Preacher, you better get right with God. And instead of Demas clinging from that, he got his eyes off of righteousness and he got his eyes. It's too hard. I don't want to have to go through the trials and troubles and be looked at by these people in the world as some type of fanatic. I don't want to be laughed at and scoffed at for the gospel's sake. I'd rather be having fun like they are. I'd rather be living it up like they are. It's easy what they're doing. It's easy now, but right now that whole crowd that went to hell probably say, wish I'd have heeded Paul's message. Wish I'd have heeded what Paul preached. But Demas forsook him. Folks, that's a strong word. The Lord used that word, I'll never leave thee nor what? Forsake thee. You know what the Lord's saying? I'll never leave you, but here's something else. I'll never turn my back on you. I'll never walk away from you. I'll never get mad and blow out on you. But now that we see it, that word used in a negative, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Folks, how do you don't remember it as one that forsook? One that retreated? He didn't say Demas wasn't saved. He didn't say he fell in love with the world. He didn't say he'd never been born again. He said he just fell in love with the world. Well, let me tell you something. That's hurting God's people. That's hurting the cause of Christ. That's hurting the church of Christ. People get tired of the battle. Folks, the old preacher had a message that said there's payday someday. He was using that in a negative, those that reject Christ, but those that live faithful as Paul lived, there's a payday someday. The old song, it'll be worth it after all, child. It'll be, hey, matter of fact, Brother John just gave me the words of that song. I had no idea I was going to say it. No, that ain't in that song. That's I Want Us to Be Together in Heaven. That's a different song. But it will be worth it after a while. We forget that. See, we forget about the temporal of this life. It's temporary. We get so attached to temporal things. So attached to temporal popularity. Temporal power. Temporal prestige and position. All those things in this life are temporary. And we forget about eternity. We forget about eternity. And we forget about how important it is to remain faithful in these last days. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Folks, I don't want to be caught forsaking the Lord because I love this present world. There's always a pull to it. If you live in this flesh, and we all do, there's always a pull to it. Right. Folks, we have to resist it. Yeah. That's why the Bible said, draw nigh to God, then resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. See, a lot of people can't resist the devil because they're not drawing nigh to God. Right. They walk a tightrope between this life and the world. They see just how close they can get. Young people, If that boy and that girl don't love you for being a Christian, they don't belong in your life. If they got a problem with you, if they're ashamed of you for asking the blessing in a public place and trying to live for God, they're not the one for you. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, they're not the one. Quit trying to work on them and change them. Well, shouldn't we be a witness? Yeah, but you don't yoke up with them until they get really right with God. And you see evidence of that. Hello. That's right. We need more daddies to stand at the front porch with a shotgun. We need more daddies when they begin to call, say, hey, who's his mom and daddy? Amen. You know, that people don't do that anymore. That's what my mom and daddy would do. Who's her daddy? Yeah. Who's her mama? Right. Where do they go to church?
Yeah. Good.
Amen.
This is a true story. Me and my dad was at a relative's house years ago. And one of my cousins that was there, my cousins, we was at my dad's brother's, and she was on the phone while we were there, and it's a true story. True story. Okay, this ain't made up. She got off the phone, she went in there and told her mama, said, I got a blind date Friday night. My aunt said, let me tell you something. You're not old enough to date, but when you do, you ain't dating no blind man. I don't think that's what she meant. But Demas here, he retreated away from God. And Paul said, Timothy, I need you to come. Make all diligence to come unto me. Come shortly to me. Folks, can you imagine being in probably the lowest place of your life? You're aged now. You fought a good fight. You finished your course, kept the faith. But yet you still needed. Hey, folks, you'll never come to a place in your life where you don't need somebody. Well, let me tell you something. This statement, I don't need nobody but Jesus. I understand what you're saying. But God didn't build us that way. We need each other. Now, ultimately, he's all we need as far as supplying our needs. Anybody that hates you, dislikes you, they can't stop God from blessing you. No matter how they talk about you, that God knows, and he's not going to stop doing what's faith. I understand that. People can't stop God's blessings. However, God's made us to need each other. All through the church epistles, it's spoken and unspoken. It's applied and implied. We need people. And here you are at your lowest. I don't know how long ago, but I believe it's something recent. And Paul said, I want you to come. Hey, Demas hath forsaken me. He turned his back on me. He's acting like he don't even know me. Like he's never been a part of this ministry. Like he's never preached, never heard me preach, never lived for God. He's just like a lost man. He loves the present world. That stung, buddy. And any pastor worth his salt, when a churchman, when a Christian does that, turns their back, and hey, how God used to use them and how God wants to use them, and them just to turn their back because they love this present world and preaching that the way we preach, they used to love it, now they hate it. You can't love the present world and love the things of God at the same time. So they come a place, something happened where they begin to hate the things of God and love the world. You cannot love the world and love God. The Bible said it's an impossibility. So something happened, something came up in his heart that caused him to despise preaching, despise God's people, despise living for God and serving God, and fell in love with the world. Something happened. You don't read anywhere where he ever got right. Notice verse 11, my time's gone. So in verse 10, one was remembered for his retreat. But verse 11, here's a positive. One was remembered for his return. He said, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. You remember? Remember John Mark? Went out with Paul and was it Barnabas? And then he went back home. And his retreating brought division between two of God's men. So let me tell you something. The decisions you make as a Christian will never just affect you. See, one said, God, we're going to bring him back. Paul said, I don't have any confidence in him. Won't have any confidence in him. Don't bring him back. The Bible said the divisions were sharp between them. They each took a young preacher and went their own ways. I don't know if they ever got it right with each other or not. But some kind of business picked up. Folks, I'm going to be honest with you. I think, and I'm getting off task, I think Paul's writing a wrong decision he made back in Acts. He wasn't a perfect man. Folks, I've made plenty of mistakes as a pastor. Y'all can amen to that. Y'all been here. I could give some examples. Y'all been gracious. Paul said, hey, Timothy, when you come, I like it. He said, when you come, take Mark and bring him with you, for he is profitable. See, back yonder, Paul said, this man ain't profitable. This guy ain't profitable, but he returned. Paul said, bring him. He's profitable now. You know, here's the good news. If someone has forsook the Lord, forsook the things of God because they love this present world, you ain't got to stay out there.
Amen.
So that's the good news. You don't have to stay out there. You can get right and come back.
Amen.
And be profitable again.
Yeah.
Be spirit. Hey, don't let the devil tell you, well. See, the first thing the devil begins to work on us is our pride. How's he do it? Through embarrassment. I'm too embarrassed to come back. I'm too ashamed to come back. That's a form of pride. The Lord blesses humility. The Lord blesses humility. Humble yourself. Whatever you need to get right, get right. Come back. Amen. Come back. I used to know a pastor, and he's not around this area anymore. But he would tell the congregation when someone backslid on God, got out in the world, and they come back to church, don't speak to them. Don't speak to them. Treat him as a heathen. He took a verse or two out of context. How you know? Well, the prodigal's daddy didn't do that. He fell on his neck and kissed him. Put a robe, ring, shoes on him. Hey, had a party. That's Pharisaic philosophy. Quit acting like people can't get right with God in return. Well, you just okay in their sin. No, I ain't. No, I ain't. No, I'm not. I'm giving them space to repent. I got a problem if they don't have a problem for leaving. I'm talking about getting out in the world. If they don't get that right with God, that's an issue.
Yeah, amen.
But if somebody comes, hey, I've forsaken the things of God, I quit church. Because I love, most people won't say that. They'll say, so-and-so made me mad. So-and-so hurt my feelings. So-and-so done me wrong. When the whole time, the problem is, you love this present world, and you didn't want to fool with the battles of being one of God's children, because there are battles in it.
Yeah, man, like God, good preaching.
But old John Mark got right. And Paul said, hey, Timothy, on your way, pick him up. Pick him up. Bring him with you. I'm not trying to trying to distort the Word of God, but why would Paul want him to come? Well, he's proper for him for the ministry, yeah. But Paul wanted to see him. I believe he wanted to talk to him one more time. Tell him he was sorry. Tell him he loved him. Get fellowship back with him before he died. Because I don't want, hey, the Bible said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I don't want to leave this earth with any ought in my heart toward anybody. And as far as I know, I don't have any.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. As far as I know, I don't have any. I believe Paul wanted that. I believe Paul wanted, he wanted not only to, hey, I want to see him used of God. I want to maybe hear him preach out there when I'm listening at the window of the jail cell. I don't know. But I believe he wanted to let him know, I love you, son. And I don't have anything against you. I appreciate you getting back in this thing. Bring him because he's... Folks, quit making people unprofitable because they committed a sin that's really, really one that you hate. Well, you ought to hate them all. I'm an independent Baptist. I'm a Christian by grace. I'm an independent Baptist by choice. I'm going to heaven because of the blood of Christ. But we falter. And I'm running a rabbit here, and I got one more. We falter. How do we do that? By shooting our wounded. We don't apply ointment. We don't go to him and us that are spiritual and restore such a one with the spirit of meekness. We don't do that. We shoot them. We put them in a place where they can never, ever come back to your church. And if that's your spirit, get right or get gone, because I'm telling you something, we don't shoot wounded people. We don't agree with their sin. We don't yoke with it. We don't okay it. But hey, God can deal with the heart, and God can say, hey, God can get them right. The Pharisees didn't have any sins outwardly, but they had a bunch inwardly. And those inwardly things come out of their mouth. He was remembered for his return. Take Mark. Bring him with you. Bring him with you. And then look at verse 11 again. Verse 10, one was remembered for his retreat, one was remembered for his return. But verse 11, one was remembered for his remaining. Luke is with me. Luke is with me. Folks, we know the Holy Spirit of God is the author of the Bible. But God used over, 40 different penmen. Do y'all understand who penned the book of Acts? Luke did. The Acts of the Apostles, Luke's right there. Dr. Luke. He didn't know his second calling was going to be chronicling the Acts of the Apostles under divine inspiration of God. He's writing it down. Every word in the book of Acts, he penned it. The beating experiences, the jail cell experiences, the mocking, the shipwreck, all this. He said, Luke is with me. Now, I don't know what Paul's thorn was, whether it was, some folks think it was some type of crippling arthritis, some folks eye disease, because I believe the Galatian people, he said, you would have plucked your own eyes out and given to me. I don't know, but apparently they showed Paul some mercy and let his doctor stay with him. See, Luke is a picture of the grace of God in Paul's life. How's that? Well, God allowed a messenger from Satan to buffet him. buffet him, beat him, send pain. But God allowed Luke to be with him to help him with it, the doctor. He had a traveling physician with him. That's grace. Hey, let me tell you something. I don't know what we have to go through, but God's always got grace with it. Amen. Folks, how do you want? I'm gonna be remembered when it remained. Through the mountains and the valleys. The hard times, the good times, times when I fail God, I want to get it right and keep on keeping on. But how are you going to be remembered? If right now was the day we check out of here, how would you be remembered right now? How would you be remembered? And ultimately, I want to be remembered as a child of God. To left my family, no confusion that I was born again. A few years back, I was called on. It was a cold, 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 windy night. There was an accident, and an individual was killed. And I was called to the home. It's cold. Man, it's cold. And I couldn't get down there to where it was, so I went to the home, one of the homes of one of the family members. And one of the close family members walked in and saw me sitting there and said, they was not saved. What does that mean? And all eyes, there's probably 25 people in that house, and they all eyes on me. Now, preachers, you tell them off. Man, I wasn't about to, they were hurting. I bet I didn't tell them no lie. All I could say is, God did right. He did do right. God did right by him. They didn't understand what I was saying, but if he died without Christ, the Lord gave him opportunities. Right. He was around the gospel. I preached the gospel to him. And now the memory of him is, we just don't know. I don't want to be remembered that way. Old Tommy wasn't all that in areas, but he was saved. He loved the God. He knew the Lord. Of course, all of us want to go up in the rapture with our families, but if my body's laid right here where this communion table is, my families may weep, but they won't weep hopelessly. Amen. They may sorrow, but they won't do it hopelessly. Amen. Because I've made it clear, buddy. And they know. Folks, I asked my mother. My mother loved the Lord. She loved the Lord. I promise y'all I'm trying to quit. I'm sorry for going over. My mother was about to pass away. She was, for one of the days she was clear. And I just wanted to hear it. I knew the response. I said, Mama, are you sure you're saved? And she said, boy. I'm not lying. That finger, boy. You know I'm ready to meet the Lord. I said, that's all I want to hear. Greatest thing I could have heard. Amen. That it was well with her soul. And I knew it was, but I wanted to hear it. Amen. Amen. Hey, you know, this Christmas, Courtney, come on, if you come, I'll quit. You know, this Christmas might be a good idea to get the family around the table or in the living room or wherever you have your Christmas gathering. Read the Christmas story, then let everybody go around the room and give their testimony. Amen. Well, that's putting people on the spot. They won't want to come. There's a possibility of that. I won't deny it, but don't you want to know? Don't you want to let your family know And you can say past, but what a blessing to hear. Folks, I had an opportunity to lead my children to Christ, but I still like to hear their testimony.
Amen.
Led Maddie to Christ on the telephone. I like to hear testimonies. My wife has shared her testimony with me a bunch. Y'all have heard mine so much, you know it probably better than your own. I'm going to be remembered as one that knew Christ. Let's all stand. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The altar's open if you need to come. Thank you for your patience.